Oh, Mamma Mia, Santa Maria, as the Italian would say, good morning to you, my dear listeners. Good morning to you, Namibia. Well, as we live in the world of technology, and sometimes he just decided, I'm not going to work today. I'm just going to be stubborn no matter what you do. So that's exactly what happened. You know, that's the reason why we couldn't start. Right at 8 o'clock. Good morning and welcome to Eagle FM and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So my name is Mike Oshovili. I hope you had a very beautiful weekend. It's a Monday morning. It's already showing that is this one. My Monday has started becoming blue already. All right. Hopefully it doesn't continue to be in that way. And I hope yours is not that way as well. Good morning. And welcome to Eagle FM. And my name is Mike Oshovili. And this is Unpacking the Day. So we're a bit late, 20 minutes late because of the, and thank you, David, for making sure that we're still on. And welcome to Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic and politics. And every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always, always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So The views shared during the segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, sparking meaningful conversation so you can be able, you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So today is the 15th of September, 2025. Actually, we are just right in the middle of the month of September. So today, we don't have really anything significant on this day in Africa. So yeah, nothing really happened much on the fifth. That's very significant on September the 15th. So let's just go to the thought for the day. We already, you know, in the show already. So for about 22 minutes. So the thought for the day, corn cannot expect justice from a court composed of chickens. A corn cannot expect justice from a court composed of chicken. So the proverb uses the metaphor of corn being judged by the chicken, being judged by chickens that eat it. So illustrating a clear conflict of interest and imbalance of power. Now, the proverb teaches us that one should not expect justice from a system or institution controlled by those who have a history or a motive to exploit or harm. So instead, justice should come from neutral, impartial sources, not influenced by bias or self-interest. Now, the proverb is often used to critique corrupt governments, biased courts, or unfair political or business system where those in control protect their own interests rather than those of the oppressed. Now, the proverb also encourages people now to seek alternative, fairer outlet of justice, fairer outlet for justice, and to be vigilant against exploitations. So, corn cannot expect justice from a court composed of chickens. So, as you make choices and decisions throughout the day today, make sure that you are vigilant against exploitations. And if you are the one in the position of a chicken, so that you are not motivated to exploit or harm others. So Good morning to you. Make sure that you make decisions that help you, you know, to not get into conflict, into the conflict of interest or imbalance of power. So that's our thought of the day today on Monday, the 15th of September. So good morning to you and welcome. And so hopefully you continue to stay connected to Eagle FM. Stay connected with Eagle FM. And what you can do, you can download Eagle FM mobile app for you to remain connected to Eagle FM if you are not in the area where you cannot listen to the radio. So you can always download the Eagle FM mobile app, Eagle FM mobile app, through Google Play and Play Store, and you can have access to a lot and lots of features on the FM mobile app, on Eagle FM mobile app. So today is a Monday. If you're looking for the latest, very latest business and economic news, get yourself a free copy of The Villager. What you need to do, you simply send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44. And The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And please do follow us and share, especially do follow Eagle FM and The Villager. And we are on various social media platform. We are on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, Telegram, and WhatsApp. So make sure that you follow us and you share. And make sure also you leave a comment and a like and share. So, all right. So, and for those that are into business or you just want to advertise your meeting, your business meeting, your celebration, your function, your workshop or your conference, and sometime you want to expose your event through live streaming or broadcasting, please do contact our office at 083-288-400. A very good morning, and thanks for joining us. And what you can expect in our show this morning is that, and this is something also that David actually mentioned this morning. So the lab-grown diamond, they are actually robbing. They are robbing the Southern African of our riches. That's one thing that we're going to look at. The lab-grown diamond is said to be robbing Southern Africa its riches. So, and you remember when America sent some deportees to Eswatini? Well, another African state agrees to host U.S. deportees. So we can look at that as well. And if we still have time, South Africa, top court say men can take wife's last name. Maybe we can look at that. Something on, if we have time towards the end. And also, if we have time, remember the report that we, even last year, the report warns Africa to avoid new colonialism in green deals. We still have that one in case we still have some time. So, as you can see, it's really, we have so much to talk about. And please make sure you stay tuned. We'll be back.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chika oshafathana na alongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotitha mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia, ombito mbwana wa oronjika. Seithane na omayaguro ni randi thoma yoe yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uo kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you, Namibia, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. It is Mike Oshoveli live in Ondangwe Studio, and we're here to cut through the noise and get to the heart of the issues that affect you and your economy. So today we are talking about diamonds. You know, diamond is women's friend, or what? What do they say? So, I think there is a shift. There is a shift happening in a diamond industry, quite a revolution taking place in laboratories, in a far away in China and India, and it's actually threatening to turn our most precious resources into, well, just another stone. It's turning our most precious resources in just another stone. So a recent article from the IOL paints a very concerning picture of our neighbor. And we're talking our neighbor, Botswana. And the question we have actually to ask is, are we next? So what is happening to Botswana? Are we next, or is it happening already within our diamond as well? Now, for a century, a diamond meant one thing. You know, as we know, diamond meant one thing. It's a rare natural gem pulled from the earth, and often right here in Southern Africa. Quite, we have a rich of that. This is a rich resources in Southern Africa, and its value was built on this rarity. It's something that is rare. You know, that's where, you know, the value of it was actually built on that. So, but now, there's a new player in town. Right? There is a new player in town, the lab-grown diamond. So, scientists can now create diamonds in a lab that are physically and chemically identical to the natural ones. So, and the new player in town, you can't tell them apart with the naked eye. So the only difference is, the only real difference, one was made by geological pressure, you know, over a billion years. So, and the other by machine in a few weeks, actually. So this could be done in just a few weeks. So now, but there is also the biggest difference of all. There is one biggest difference, which should be concerning you as well. The price. The price is the biggest difference of all. All right. Remember now, you can't make really, they aren't really physically and chemical. They look physically identical. They look the same. They look just like the natural ones. So if you compare them. So the only difference now, the biggest difference for me is the price. So, and this article, the article we are looking at, it highlights a very shocking drop in May 2022. A one carat natural diamond was worth about $6,800 US. By the end of last year, 2024, that same diamond was worth less than $5,000 US. That is a massive cut. And this doesn't just affect now. When we're talking about this drop, it doesn't only affect Botswana. It affects everybody who trade in diamond, who actually who has these resources. So now, meanwhile, lab-grown. Now, the difference now, on the other side, lab-grown diamonds are becoming cheaper and more popular. So they are cheaper and they are more popular. So put 1 plus 1 is 2. So the report says they have already captured about 20% of the global market by value. 20%. of the global market by value. So for every $5 spent on a diamond globally, one of those dollar is now going to a lab-made stone. Now, in a huge American engagement ring market, you know, it is closer to 50% by volume. So that means almost half the rings being sold. So almost half of the ring being sold, then feature a lab-grown stone. That's how popular it is, or how growing it becomes. So how it's global market by, how it's growing that 20% of the global market by value. So now, well, one thing that you have to know, this is not a future problem. This is not a future problem. It's happening right now. It's not, this is something that you expect that it would happen in the future. It's actually happening now. And our neighbor, Botswana, is feeling the heat. Absolutely feeling the heat. Their economy is massively dependent on diamond, and it's about 30% of their entire GDP. So 30% of their entire GDP. So they are now in a scramble, if you can put it that way. They are now in a scramble. They're even launching a sovereign wealth fund, talking about legitimizing cannabis, you know, and even having their president actually declare a state of emergency over a failing health system because government coffers are running low. You know, it's a very serious. And the credit rating as well. The credit rating agency have noticed that. And the S&P downgraded Botswana, citing lab diamond threat directly. So now it's like finding out the oil you have been selling for 100 years can now be made in a factory for half the price. So you have been, you know, selling this oil for 100 years, and now that can be made in a factory for half a price of what you have been selling it. You see how that can drop your drop that commodity. So the big uncomfortable question is, the very big uncomfortable question is, Botswana, we can put it this way, Botswana is the canary in the coal mine. When does the gas reach out, you know, reach our part of the tunnel, when you're talking about the canary in a coal mine? So when does that gas reach our part of the tunnel? How vulnerable, let's put it simple, how vulnerable are we? When does that get to us? That's the question. Now, it's easy to hear about Botswana and think, well, that's their problem. Why do we have to worry about that? But is it only their problem? Is it only their problem? So we know here that diamonds are cornerstone of Namibia's economy. Let's not forget NAMDEP, a 50-50 partnership between our government and the beers. It is one of our largest employer. It is one of our largest employer, especially around the coast, in towns like Oranjemund and Lüderitz. So the taxes and royalty from those, you know, from those shining stones, what do? They pay for the road, they pay for our clinic, they pay for our teachers, you know. So is it that it's only their problem? So when the price of natural diamond falls by nearly 30% in 2 years, that is not just a headline. That's not just a headline. That is a direct hit to our national budget. That's a hole. Huh? That's a hole in our national budget. It means less foreign currency coming in. Yeah, less foreign currency coming into our country. Yeah, and if it's less foreign currency coming into the country, that means also less revenue for the government to spend. Yeah, to spend on public services. So this is a very, very serious aspect that we need to think critically. But the question is maybe we need to ask is that, but are we in the same boat as Botswana anyway? Are we in the same boat? Not exactly. And this is where we need to be nuanced, as they said. So Namibia's economy is more, what do the words they use? It's more diversified, okay? Namibia's economy is more diversified. We have a strong fishing industry, a world-class tourism sector, and we are a major, there's another one, we are a major uranium producer. So on paper, we have more legs to stand on compared to Botswana, and we aren't a singularly dependent like in case of Botswana. So, however, let's also challenge that comfort. Okay, let's also challenge that comfort. Being more diversified, it doesn't mean we are immune. It does not mean we are immune. It just means the economic pain might be slower. That's all what it means. It might be slower or spread, you know, out differently. So, yeah, a significant blow to our diamond industry is still a significant blow to Namibia. Yeah? Period. So, Are our other sectors strong enough to pick up the slack if diamond revenues were to, let's say, have half over the next decade? So do our other sector, are they strong enough to pick up that slack if the diamond then revenue become a bit, you know, a drop down in the next decade, for example? That's a tough ask. It's honestly going to be a tough ask. So, and it looks the way things are going, you know, it happened to Botswana. So that's more likely to happen. That's the way I'm talking about in terms of 10 years from now. You never know. You have to think about the job. And talking about the jobs, I have spoken to people from, let's say, from Debmarines. I have a friend from Debmarines. They were asked already. There are people, there's one vessel, they call them a vessel. There's a vessel that is not being used anymore because it's not viable. It's not economically viable anymore to use it. There are people already in a company like Debmarine, for example, who are asked to voluntary separation. I can't remember the technical word. Voluntary person told me about voluntary. Severance? This is voluntary severance. It's something where you actually decided to volunteer to retire, not retire, but what is the word? I can't remember. So, but they were already asking to do that. So in certain job category, they were already asked to do that. So that's why I say, think about the job. This is already, as I said, this is not something that's going to happen in the future. It's already happening now, right away. And we have to think these are not just numbers on a spreadsheet. These are families whose livelihood have been built around mining for generations. So what is the plan for them? What is the plan? So, well, it seems our leaders are taking a similar approach to our neighbors. So the article actually mentioned that Angola, Botswana, Namibia, and others who are actually have these resources, who are involved in diamond industry, have pledged to use 1% of their diamond revenues to market natural diamonds, to let the story of their origin, their reality, their soul. So, to advertise on that, we're going to come back from this.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
So welcome back. If you're joining us, this is Unpacking the Day, and we're talking about the lab grown diamond. So now, what happened? What this country have done is that, look, maybe we need. What they decide is that let's use 1% of our diamond revenues to market the natural diamonds. And let's tell the story of their origin, you know, their rarity, that they are. I remember when Mr. Nangombe was still the ED for the Ministry of Mines. They went to the U.S. summit, U.S. Africa summit in Angola, and this is one thing that was one of the discussion of that. And I have a very, very, very interesting discussion on this with him. So, and one of that, the strategy is actually marketing. Marketing the reality and the origin of this, you know, the soul of the diamond as well, if you like. So, yeah, of the original diamond, you understand? Not kind of like that one, you know, the lab made. It's a fake or some kind of, you know, kind of that kind of advertisement in that direction. But now we have to question if this is actually a viable long-term strategy. Would that be a viable long-term strategy? Or is it like spending money on a campaign to promote? Let's say, for example, you promote, you're promoting a handwriting letter in the age of email. So that's why I'm asking, is this a viable long-term strategy? If you might spend your money in marketing, but yes, I said, you kind of like promoting handwriting letters into the age of email. So it's not viable. Can marketing truly compete with the massive technological disruption and fundamental shift in customers' behavior? As they said, this is becoming popular, and you don't see the difference anyway. And we're talking about the new generation. Eh? So, and we're also talking about the new generations. So now, let's look at this. Who wins and who loses actually when it comes to this? Eh? So who wins and who loses? So let's dig a little bit deeper. When we talk about this issue, there are different players with different agendas. You know, when we look at this, there are different players with different agendas. First, you have the traditional diamond industry, including now like the beers. Okay. Now, the article note they are part of this marketing push. Now we're talking about, you know, marketing. They are part of the marketing push, talking about the responsibly sourced diamond from Botswana. So this is their classic playbook, you know. So sell the story, the romance, the connection to the earth, The real is the real message. So that's now the kind of message of that. The real is the real. The one that is real is the real one. So that's kind of the message. Now, and as I said, and there is a twist here. The beer itself, through its company, a light box, sell lab-grown diamonds. They sell lab-grown diamonds. So on one hand, they are partner with our government in Namdeb, trying to prop up the value of natural diamonds. But on the other hand, they are actively participating in the very market that is undermining that value. So, is it a conflict of interest? Or is it just smart businesses? Well, I think they are hedging their bets. They're hedging their bet. If natural diamond wins, they win. If lab-grown diamond wins, they also win. You understand? But where does that leave Namibia? Or Botswana for that matter? So our bet is placed entirely on one horse. Our bet is only on one horse. The natural one. Well, the natural horse. Okay? The natural diamond. Are our interests and our main corporate partner now interests still perfectly aligned? No, they're not. So that is the question of our policymakers now sitting in the parliament in Windhoek. They need to be asking. That's we need to be asking. Yeah? When you look at that, they are not aligning. So, and then something I mentioned earlier, then the whole question of consumers. So think about, that's the issue. For De Beers win on both anyway. So whether now you're advertising this, and if you win on this, they win. If they win, they're also part of the lab-grown diamonds. So they win on both sides anyway. So, but as I said, our bet is only placed on one horse. Yeah? If that loses, we lose. And now, as I said, now it's the time really to look at that. And that's a question for our policymakers. So in Windhoek, they need to be asking these questions and maybe come up with different strategies or different policies. So, and then there's a whole question of consumer. Okay. We're alluding at the beginning. Especially the young generation. Their decision is not just about price, it's about ethics. So, for many years, the diamond industry has been shadowed by the term blood diamonds. So, lab-grown diamonds come with them. So, for them, one of the angle, if you like, of a marketing angle for lab-grown diamond is that it's a clean narrative. It has a clean narrative. It's not like the natural diamond that actually have a blood. It's term, as I said, is shadowed by the term blood diamond. So that's their angle. So clean narrative, no conflict, no giant mines. So, and well, there's an issue of energy consumption. While the energy consumption of lamps is a valid environmental concern, so the marketing pitch of being conflict free is incredibly powerful for a generation that values transparency and social responsibility. So it's easy to think, those are black diamonds or whatever, blood diamonds, and I don't want to be associated with black diamonds, you know. So this is a marketing pitch for the lab grown diamond from conflict free. They are conflict free. It's not like the blood diamonds. So now we can spend million advertisement about the beauty of Namibian diamond, But can we compete with the simple, powerful message of guilty free? That's the major angle in this debate. That's the major angle in this debate. It's not just technology. It is also a cultural shift. So, yeah, and we have to understand that, and it becoming a challenge. Yeah? It's really a challenge. So now, the solution. So if marketing alone isn't the answer, what is the solution? Well, you know the buzzword that everybody, you know, especially politicians refer to. Diversification. Okay? So now Botswana is looking at luxury tourism. So they also now trying to diversificate. Looking at luxury tourism, solar power, even medicinal cannabis. So they're getting into that. So what about us? Well, and what about Namibia? What about us? We have been talking about diversification or diversifying our economy for centuries, for decades, for many years. We have been talking about this. Maybe is this now the fire we need? Maybe this is the fire we need to finally make it happen at speed. So we have been trying, maybe at speed and scale. So maybe now we start to do that. So because we are under pressure, so in this sector that we have been dependent on for many years. So the obvious answer everyone is talking about, of course, you know, is the green hydrogen. We have the sun, we have the wind, we have the space. So theoretically, we could become a global energy powerhouse. So, and this is our potential. Escape hatch from resource dependence. So, and I said, theoretically. So, but let's also be critical. So the green hydrogen is still in its infancy. We're not yet there. Still in infancy. All right. So make sure you read, you pick up our paper today. There's a story front page, story there. So, about Doris. So make sure that you pick up the paper and get into that. So what I'm saying is that the green hydrogen is still in its infancy. Even if when we're talking about diversification, that's an area that we can actually go. I mean, where we focus now, but we are at the beginning. We are at the beginning of this process. We are still in its infancy, so it requires. First, we know that it requires immense investment. It requires complex infrastructure. And the global market for it is still taking shape. And it is a long-term bet. That is our long-term bet. We are betting on that, you know, for the future. So the threat for lab-grown diamond, however, is immediate, is now. It's not something that we have to think 5 years from now. It is a short-term crisis. Yeah? It's right here. So can our long-term solution now, when you have to think, so now where we are betting now, so can our long-term solution arrive in time to solve our short-term problem? So you can see that there is a dangerous gap between the two. All right. So, and the IOL article hints at another opportunity. Okay. It hints at another opportunity. The BIA is exploring using a synthetic diamond for high tech application in quantum computing and semiconductors. Okay. So this is where the future is actually heading. So, price for lab-grown gems are falling, but the price for the industrial-grade synthetic diamonds component is actually stable. So, and maybe let's put up here, let's put up a provocative thought here. Now, maybe instead of just fighting the rise of synthetic diamond, should Namibia be looking to join it? Why can't we? Eh? Why can't we join it? Could we leverage our expertise in diamond sector to get into high tech manufacturing? Could we be producing diamond-based semiconductors here instead of just exporting the raw stones? So that's an opportunity. Well, sound futuristic, but if we don't think this way, we risk being left behind. We definitely risk being left behind, holding a handful of beautiful, you know, but, you know, original diamond, but increasingly less valuable. The natural, we could be holding a handful of natural gems, beautiful natural gem, but increasingly less valuable, becoming less and less valuable. So, all right. So, what are our takes? What are our key takeaway for us here in Namibia from this article? So, first, the threat is real, and it's urgent. It's happening right now. This is not a distant problem for our neighbors. It is an economic storm gathering on our own horizon, on our own horizon. So the falling price of natural diamonds directly impacts every Namibian, because that impacts your budget, your national budget. Secondly, relying now on marketing and, you know, and the romance of the real thing, you know, maybe not be enough. Maybe that wouldn't be enough. We are facing a fundamental shift in technology and consumers' value, you know? So, and we need a strategy that acknowledges this reality rather than one that just wishes it, maybe we're wishing it away. So that's something we need to come up with, something really that acknowledges that's the reality, and we need to do something. And thirdly, economic diversification is no longer a political buzzword. That's not a political buzzword anymore. It is an act of national survival. I think that's an act of national survival. Initiatives like green hydrogen are absolutely critical. They are absolutely critical, but we must be realistic about the timeline and ensure we have a bridge to get there. So we must ensure that we have a bridge. In the meantime, so we should have a bridge to get there, because we have this problem right away. This is the reality. This is the problem we have at this point in time. So, and I think this forces us to ask fundamental questions. What is the true value? Now you can ask, what are the true values of diamond now? Is it reality? Because that's not anymore. Is it its beauty? Because they can actually manufacture something more beautiful, maybe. Or the story we tell about it. Because a new story is being written in the labs across the world. And we need to decide what our next chapter will be. We need to decide. Will we be the nation that actually clung to the past, that we clung to the past, or the one that actually used its legacy? We have a legacy. So to build a new and more resilient future, while we have that legacy, maybe we can build a new and more resilient future, right? That's a conversation for all of us to have at wherever you find yourself, at dinner table, in the office, in the whole of parliament as well. So what are your thoughts? A lab-grown diamond, a threat, an opportunity? Good FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Hi, Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Fine, thank you. Diamond, I want to suggest that I think the first step in the strategy for this would be that the diamond area, those vast diamond areas, those declared diamond areas should be shrunk.
Yeah.
Especially areas where you might have lower concentrations. It can maybe still keep the higher concentration, but the lower concentration, because we don't actually know what's in that ground. There might be copper, there might be gold, there might be something else that's valuable. You know what I mean? And we've never looked at it, or at least I don't know if it's ever been looked at, the diamond areas. And those diamond areas need to be evaluated, explored. Mineral exploration needs to take place there so that we can see what other resources are there. And that will help us as a country to mitigate the risk that is being posed by industrial diamonds and the shrinking diamond industry.
Yeah.
So natural diamond mining industry, so that we can be able to get something else. Perhaps there's, you know, the greatest amount of gold there. Who knows? You know, then we can start selling gold. Maybe it's copper. Maybe it's even coltan.
Hey, what?
Right? Coltan.
Coltan? What?
Coltan.
Coltan.
Coltan. Yeah, coltan is a metal or mineral that's being used, that's mined only in the DRC.
Yeah.
And it's used for the semiconductor industry.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they keep the DRC in the state that it is.
Yeah.
Because you only get it in the DRC. I don't know why you should only find it in the DRC. It seems quite strange to me, because all other minerals and metals are sort of dispersed almost evenly across the crust of the earth. But coltan, apparently, it's only in the DRC. And I don't know why.
Yeah. So it could be just a certain area where you could only find them in a certain area. Yeah.
No, but look, if I have to go look for gold, on every continent, I will find gold.
Yeah.
Copper, the same. Every mineral that is in the periodic elements, are not minerals, but most minerals, I will find them wherever else, except for coltan. Why should that be the case?
Where is the country? They must look at Southern Africa, the Southern America, the country that was connected to DRC. Yeah, there must be.
Then you should find it in maybe Gabon. Gabon is bordering them.
Yeah.
You should find it in Gabon also. You should at least find, so that you have like this natural progression from there into South America. But they don't.
Yeah.
This is what they claim. Or maybe people do find it, but then they bury it again because they don't want to go the way of DRC. Maybe, I don't know. But apparently there's a never-ending supply there. But I think that the diamond areas should be reduced, because these are vast amounts of land. If you take the value of diamonds, let's say it was $100 a diamond or carat, right? And the area that they had, there was maybe 300,000 carats, estimated, right? Now, when the value of the diamond falls, that land, the wealth that land is holding might not be as significant as it was before because of this. So therefore, they should start shrinking those areas for our own benefit, so that other companies can come in, do mineral exploration for other metals and
When you look at this now, this lab-grown diamond, do you think, from your perspective, you're looking at it as a threat or as an opportunity?
Well, I don't really look at it as a threat, yes, to us, because of how heavily invested we are in diamonds, and for many years. You know, you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket. But that's what we've done. And now this basket's about to leak or to fall or to burn up.
It's already
whatever
leaking.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is a threat in that sense. But it might pose as an opportunity in that we might find other minerals in those same areas. I don't think we're going to become the number one, world's number one, or even number 10, or even number 100 synthetic diamond manufacturer anytime soon. And this is a technology that is now how old? I think it's close to 20 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've people have been trying to delay it and trying to put stumbling blocks in the way. But I think it's here now, finally.
It is.
And we're not going to become experts in it anytime soon. Our best bet, the lowest hanging fruit, is to try and find something else that's under those dunes in his diamond, in his vast, vast diamond areas. Maybe even more towns can be developed, not just Lüderitz and Walvis Bay and Sokov Moon. Maybe there are other towns that are there. Maybe we can get, towns that are closer to Oranjemund, you know, or building Oranjemund much bigger simply because of the oil and gas.
Mm.
Maybe we wanna, because it will be, that means it will be closer. It's a shorter distance from town to there.
Yeah.
And maybe we need to build a harbor there or something. Whatever it is, we need to be able to looking at those things instead of saying we're suddenly going to become an industrial country, but only in this one sector.
Mm. But I think this whole synthetic diamond is also pushing us now to take this initiative of green hydrogen, and it's absolutely becomes now absolutely clear, because that's one area now we have to go into it.
Well, we don't have to go into it, but I think that it's something that it has value. You don't have to throw it away.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you downsize the scale, you wanted to be able to go into it and develop the technology, because green hydrogen just says, hey, you guys have a lot of sunlight.
Yeah.
That's all it says. You have a lot of sunlight and you have good access to the ocean. That's it. It doesn't, I mean, the Sahara Desert, there's a lot of sunlight there too.
Yeah.
You know, does that mean that they're going to put a solar plant in the Sahara Desert? I think there was a project like that at some point where they were considering something like that. And it just never worked out. So it's not something we need to throw away, because it should be like we should be trying to develop the technology in-house as well, trying to move the technology to the next level in-house now, through research grants, through actually building some plants up and seeing what are the challenges, what are the barriers to producing this green hydrogen. Because there's a lot of hydrogen actually. Especially when you're running oil, but they call it brown hydrogen.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so those are all good points. But I agree with you.
Yeah.
We should continue with the green hydrogen. But it's just that the problem with green hydrogen is the solar panels.
Yeah.
Solar panels are the problem. They are expensive. We don't manufacture them here. If we could manufacture them here, yes, maybe.
Mm.
We don't manufacture them here, and if they break, you can't even say, no, let me fix it. Let me take out the carburetor and replace it with a new carburetor, and then the solar panel works. No, that means you have to buy a new solar panel all from scratch.
Yeah.
You've got to maintain them. There's dust.
That's what we're talking about when it comes to transfer of skill. Do you teach someone how to install the solar panel, or do you teach them how to manufacture them, you know?
So, yeah, we should be looking at manufacturing.
So otherwise, you just teach him how to install it. When it's broken, as you said, you still actually have to get it somewhere. You know?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and that's very expensive. Mm.
I think most of the people are really actually looking deeply at nuclear. That is something that they have been talking about for even recently, the last, say, 13 years.
Yeah,
they've been talking about thorium, for instance. Thorium nuclear reactors, they've been going on and on and on and on. China dedicated 350 PhD graduates at some point, apparently. It was a $1 billion research project. But nothing has come of it so far yet that we can see. Maybe they are, progressing in leaps and bounds, but we can't see it. You know, they never divulged any of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the case. So for us, green hydrogen may be a solution or an industry, but I mean, don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's what you did with diamonds.
Yeah.
Look at all those diamond areas. Those diamond areas are unnecessarily large. Imagine the tourism that we can do in that land. The possible metals that might be in that land. All of these things. So you've got locked away money for the sake of one industry. And I'm saying money, I mean value.
Mm.
You've got locked away value in all that land for the sake of one industry that is now crumbling, that is falling away.
Yeah.
So that's my take.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Bye.
Okay, great. All right, good morning. And this is Unpacking the Day. So you're welcome to come through and have your contribution. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I hope you have a beautiful weekend.
That's great. Yeah, we had. We thank God for that.
Okay.
Even though it was like a weekend of mourning and weeping.
That's not good.
You know, a lot of things have happened.
Yeah.
That if you are told, this all happened for people.
Yeah, definitely.
So now, yes, it's true, the diversification. I think I must just continue where Anonymous, the one of the key issues that he mentioned, especially on diversification. So, and I think, especially during the corona time, most of the companies, especially those who are producing like alcohol, beverages, and all others, especially even the diamond company. No wonder now that they are getting into the natural one. So they seriously need to diversify their activities. And we have heard many of them were diversifying their activities. Some of them came up with new products of, what is it? The one I like most is this non-alcoholic, this Cayelo thing.
So which...
I always look at the color and then it's written non-alcohol. So it's a very nice thing. It is so many, many other products can be developed. And now getting their money into agriculture. These breweries and all these other things. Let them look at the agriculture, for example, and the skill development, so that they can then diversify. If people are now working as a team, those countries, and there are a lot of principles that binding them together, to seriously compel them to work together, collaborate in all these areas. So it means that so they can really just diversify their activity. There are many, many areas where we have a problem. For example, youth unemployment and many, many food security. That's where the opportunities are. So that's where the opportunities are. Because you cannot have a problem and then you now get stagnant. Without developing a solution to that problem.
You are forced actually to diversify.
You just have to. Even if you are in the business and you know that these things is what is it?
There's no market for it anymore. I mean, even in business where there's no market anymore, you have to get into things that have a market. You know,
go into the things that have got a market. Do a market research and look at the situation and immediately, and then you know, this is where I can. If there are needs for new product to be developed, develop the thing, especially in our own context here now. The green hydrogen that we are hearing, and this morning we are also hearing many, many tons, thousands of tons, and here we cannot even consume everything. So now the solar panel development, I mean, creation of solar panel is very important. And I'm sure the only problem is that our artisans from VTC, maybe those ones really need to be gathered, organized. And then now retrain them.
Actually, so, the other thing is this. We can now see where we're going. Get people from China, get people from Germany, get people from those who are qualified to help us. How can we manufacture, you know, solar panel ourselves, you know, and then teach us here how to do that, you know?
Like yesterday we were talking about, maybe understudy might not be appropriate here. But those technical and bilateral agreements that have been entered, especially the one that I was analyzing very well when he last time that former President Mbumba went to China. If you look at that report and all these things, there is also money for technical issues, But then it cannot just be the government, because we have known that how many people have went for scholarship in Germany for these things through the government agreement and things like that. But we ourselves now, because we have got also our technical school. There are even private ones.
Even
those ones now, our technical, those who are responsible to lead and manage the technical, technical institution.
Yeah.
Potential institution.
You know, Uncle Buena, you know what? You know, sometimes this is confusing. Confusing is that, look, like what you're saying. We, at one point you hear that, you know, this is the number, we're sending people for, in this area to be technical, for us to be technical in this area. And the next day, in 2 days, 3, 4 days, then you hear a person even talking about, we don't have, maybe at the moment, but we have been sending a lot of people for different things. And then you hear, we don't have actually the people that are actually at the technical know-how of that area. And then you kind of like, okay, but we have sent some people. Where are they? What are they doing now? So
many of those people, you know, if they could come up with the system that they had sometimes for you to retain some of those expertise, especially in those technical areas. So when they come, I have seen it and I've observed it. In the past, somebody can be trained that way and then come and work for 5 years or 7 years for the government.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you work 2 days, 3 days, a month or two, and then immediately they either you go and do your private company.
Mm. Or they go back to Europe or wherever they have been trained.
We go back to Europe. Mm. So some of these kids, we need to create a system where we can really, the retention of kids and things like that. And it's not so difficult.
Yeah, no, it's
that's
not.
Why the countries like Chinese,
you just put up a policy that bind them to be here for a certain time. Yeah,
exactly. And you know what China is doing, in my conclusion now, is that, and not only China, many other countries, even people, country who have got so much the population.
Yeah.
So what they do, they come up with a system, for example, they say, if it's 65 years, the age of retirement and things like that. And remember, this thing is not even a labor law. It's not in the labor law and other things.
Yeah.
So we are just, so there are a lot of methods to retain skills and technical people so that they can then now, plant those, the other skills to those who are coming, like the one that the company that we are hearing.
Yeah.
So the method that they are using, which is they are also working with all the government institutions. So what they should do then, maybe let them identify the skill gaps within their system so that they can then now do this change or whatever programs and things.
All right.
So thank you, Mike, for giving me an opportunity.
Thanks for coming through. Yes. All right. A very good morning to you. This is Unpacking Today. It's a Monday morning. We are right in the middle of the month. The 15th of September. So we're talking about diamonds. Diamonds are what? What are best friends of women? I don't know what is the word? Diamonds are, why it just gone out of my head? Are best friends of a woman or something? A woman best friend. I think diamond are woman best friend. Is that the same? All right. And specifically talking about, you know, the lab grown diamond that are becoming more popular and putting our economy at risk. Definitely, that's the discussion we talk about. So, is this an opportunity? So, should we looking at this as an opportunity or as a threat? So 0811-0833-66091. Are lab grown diamonds a threat or an opportunity? So that's the question I'm posing to you. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, good.
Yeah, you come early today. So.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's look at the the diamond fall, diamond price fall. Yeah, it fall because of those women that you are talking about.
Mm.
Yeah, those luxury goods buyer.
Yeah.
They are no more because they are no more accumulating that wealth. Now the young people are taking over.
Yeah.
To make millions of dollars, which they are not in need of that flashy or show off their success. So at the end of the day, this diamond lab, so they are the one that is now picking up a little in the market.
Yeah.
So, but for the natural diamond now, ingredients into making up steel or whatever, yeah, because of recycling, that is playing a big role in the market.
Yeah.
It's also now taking over because some of these companies, they're finding quality chemical that can extract any heavy iron that you can get in diamond out of it. So at the end of the day, these are the people that are playing a big role in the market today.
Yeah.
Then the one that is harvesting mining in the from ground.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, countries like Namibia, they will be affected, and Botswana and the other in Serbia there.
Yeah. Mm.
So those are the problem because on the look of this, as I said, the world is moving with the AI to guiding those chemicals with what type of things that they need to mix in terms of restricting anything.
Mm. So since we are in this interest, shouldn't we just left behind, or shouldn't we now thinking, okay, how do we get into this new development?
The issue is that those thing now is for the rich people, because that knowledge is very high, as you can see that the AI industry is for, it's a well-paid sector. But at the end of the day, even the machine for those lab and those machine for taking over the doctors and what, the diagnosis machine.
Yeah.
It's very expensive thing. So for the sake of countries that are not making enough as Namibia, we might end up left behind because of the price, because of not affording what is needed to be done.
Yeah.
Or to get such as a thing.
The infrastructure
The infrastructure. As you were talking about the manufacturing something there, or for example, manufacturing the solar.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not easy, because if you look at what is the ingredient of you to making up a solar, you needing a lot of minerals.
Yeah.
Which you cannot get it even in some of those things, you cannot get it even in DRC. So at the end of the day, you don't have a company that is mining in DRC for nickel, for example, or platinum or whatever.
Yeah.
So for you to convincing now a Panasonic company to come and set up an assembly or a manufacturing thing in Namibia. It's a very challenge, because it's telling you that no, the ingredient that I'm getting, some of these things you don't find it in Africa.
Mm.
We find it in China, especially most of those computer stuff. We don't get them here in Namibia.
Yeah.
I mean in Africa. So you get it in Asia. Where you see, that's why China is powerful, because of most of those components they are in China, and they are needed in those manufacturing companies.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, for us, yes, as you were said on Friday, that look at the TV, for example.
Yeah.
TV, they have a lot of ingredients that is are putting there.
Yeah.
Not only copper and whatever we are producing here. There is a lot of things that is there for you to get in that image. So at the end of the day, those companies, they are not ready, because they know the major player of the minerals, they are in Asia, they are in Europe, And you need to build in a relationship with them for you to get those cheap things. It's the same as Dr. Ruben Dao, the Minister of Health,
yeah.
who are suggesting that we need to cut up a big limit. But
yeah.
for you to get a straight order from the manufacturer, it will take 6 months to 1 year
yeah.
to getting your full order.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, we might end up suffering because of that. Because the manufacturer, they have already contract with different companies.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So I remember...
Then one thing that comes to my mind also is the whole question of oil and gas and the whole transition to green, you know, to green energy. So it would be somehow, if we are not very fast, especially even with oil and gas, at one point because of now the global transition to green energy. So we may just started with oil, producing oil and gas, and then not even 5 years from there, people say, well, we're not using oil anymore. We're not using fossil oil anymore. We kind of transition into because that's the move. So
we will find
ourselves. We spend so much money, none of our investment. We put in so much investment, but 10 years, 30 years later, then that becomes obsolete.
That is what people are not look at it. Because if you look at what we are talking about the data centers.
Yeah.
They are doing their own electricity. They are doing those things on themselves.
Yeah.
For example, those big companies that you are talking about, for example, for the Apple and others.
Mm.
So they have their own solar system plant. They have their own windy plant and all of those things. So at the end of the day, yes, we cannot say we might end up find it gone. Maybe we look at it in the African market, but
yeah.
unfortunately, the African market, African countries, they don't count in each other.
Yeah.
Mm. They need a middleman, which is a European or Russian company.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are now the things, as I said, those are now the things that, to look at that, we need also to move with technology.
Mm.
Let us invest in, let us getting the right, partners, as I give an example of Panasonic and others, to say, okay, we are now discovering this green energy, which we need to manufacture. We need a solar, more solar. So can you start in assembling it in our country so that we can sell in African countries? So at the end of the day, if they see that the market is booming, yes, they can start manufacturing from us. But now, as I said, the middlemen, those are the seller of the solars now.
Yeah, yeah.
They are the one that is now encouraging this Panasonic company to come and assembling things in Namibia, in Africa.
Yeah.
Because you are competing with LG, you are competing with Samsung, you are competing with GFI. So all those things, all those companies, they are powerful. They see that the market is good in Namibia. They set up some of the big sales in the country.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, you are kicking this one, they are sampling one. It's the same which was happening to Puget. You see how they kicked Puget?
Yeah.
It was a cheap car, but on the look of the government, for example, they don't want to buy also. So they are going to Audi, they are going to Mercedes-Benz. You are kicking the person that you were supposed to help you out. In terms of convincing him to stay.
Yeah, no, Peugeot have just disappeared, exactly, yeah.
Yes, they disappear because there's no market. You are selling 2-3 cars a day, but no one coming in a week.
Yeah.
Look at now, you are making almost 12 cars. So those are the type of things that people need to discussing about it. Where are we going from here? Because the world is already changing.
Yeah. And looking at this seriously, we're talking about it here, but it is something that would have a great impact on our economy and on families. As we're talking, as we speak now, I spoke to some people. I have some friends who are working for Deb Marines that they are given what is this, a voluntary retrenchment, if you like. The voluntary retrenchment.
Yes. Those are the problems. I said the BS is not one partner.
Yeah.
The BS is changing with the lab.
Yeah.
So as you were mentioning it.
Yeah.
They are changing because they know where the money is. But and you look at the budget of the BS and Namibia national budget. They're not even closer.
Yeah, they're not. Completely not.
How can you relying on such as a person who is always doing the research every day?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, those are the... And talking about the midrimen, you cannot cut in the midrimen because we are already signing up papers with the manufacturer.
Yeah.
So those are the things that they need to look at. I look at... To giving that example of the midrimen, there was a time they were wanted to packaging something from Ministry of Health. And all the manufacturers, when they're approaching them, they said, we're getting after 3 months. Or they were giving that. You see now, you have to go through with our partners. You have to register with us and be with us in for 6 months or 1 year.
Yeah.
So that we can start in, supplying you. So at the end of this, it's a corridor player. It's not something that you can realistic. Okay, let's...
All right, man. Okay, great, man.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, good morning and welcome. Our time is about 35 minutes past the hour of 9. Yeah, now somebody actually reminded me that diamonds are girls' best friend. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and yeah, that's what I was looking for. Thanks. All right. So, yeah, if you want to contribute to this item, you're most still welcome. It's something that you and I and everyone we should be looking at this. We should have our eyes popping out, really thinking, okay, where are we going? What is happening? You know, sometimes we all see these headlines and it does affect you. That headline is not just a headline. As I said, we have, you know, people that are losing jobs already in Namibia. And as I said, it's not just about Botswana, but it's about us as well. Synthetic diamonds, definitely, it's a game changer in this industry. And it will definitely affect how this industry move forward. So it has started already. So, yeah, what do we need to do? What is that we need to do? So should we just lay our equipment down and then, you know, fold our hands and said no? So what is the way forward? So, as I said, let's keep the conversation. You know, wherever you find yourself. So let's keep the conversation. So if you want to contribute on that item, 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So you may come through and have your contribution as well. So otherwise, in the meantime, we still have a couple of minutes, actually to go to a second item. So I'm conflicted here. So don't know which one to go to. Should I look at, there's an issue. There are only about 38 minutes. How many minutes left? I wanted to talk. It's an interesting issue of maybe to debate, not really much of economic issue, but policy issue. Yeah, I'm going to go to it. Let's talk about the South Africa. So the other ones we can always cover tomorrow. So I just want to see your reaction, because online, there's a lot of, there's a big reaction on this, you know? So yeah, today, I think the other area that we need to talk about is something that, well, seems simple, but the whole thing is it tied to everything, to our identity, to our family, to our history. We're talking about names, specifically your surname. Now, a major ruling just came out. It came out of South Africa Highest Court, which is actually really making a lot of waves in South Africa when you go to online, social medias and all this. Some causing some argument and forcing a lot of people to think, you know, really people to think. And so let's get into it. And maybe give you a time at the end as well to come through it, because I wanted to hear your, what do you think? So imagine you're a couple in South Africa. Now they get married. They are rebuilding a life together, and, but they want to do something different. Okay. The husband wants to take his wife's surname. So, and maybe they both want to join their names together. You don't know. So, or creating a new family name. So you see those possibilities. Well, until last week in South Africa, it was illegal to do that. A man could not by law change his surname to his wife's upon marriage. I think that's still in Namibia. So we don't do that. Only women were given that option. So the law was a hangover. According to the article, it was a hangover from the apartheid era, a piece of old legislation called the Birth and Death Registration Act. Okay? So, two couples took the government to court. Okay? And they argued this was unfair. It was discrimination based purely on gender. And last week, the Constitution Court of South Africa agreed with them. They agreed, yes, it is unfair. So, and it is discriminatory. So they declared the old law unconstitutional, and they called it a violation of the right to equality and dignity. All right. So in short, the court said this law is outdated, it's unfair, and it has to go. Throw it away. It has to go. The government then, the South African government now has 2 years to write a fair law for everyone now. So that is the what, okay? Now, a legal victory for equality. But the real story, the one we are unpacking now, is the why. For me, I'm more interested in the why. Why does this matter so much, not just in South Africa, but right here at home in Namibia, okay? Why would that matter so much? Because there are a lot of Namibians also involved in discussion about that. Now, the court didn't just say the law was unfair. They just didn't say the law was unfair. They went deeper. They even went deeper, and they made a powerful statement that has really stirred up the pot, which actually stirred up the pot. They said the tradition of a woman automatically, they said the tradition of a woman automatically taking her husband's name is not even originally an African tradition. So that's what it says, that a tradition of women automatically taking a husband's name is not even originally an African tradition. They call it a colonial import. This is something that we have imported, you know. So let's unpack that. So, and I want you to think about it. Think about it. So the court ruling pointed out that in many traditional African culture, women kept their own names after marriage. So how true is that? So family lines or clan names were sometimes even traced through the woman, through the mother. Okay? So women kept their own name after marriage, and you know, you can be able now to trace those family lines and clan names through the mother. So that's why they said this is a colonial import. Have you even knew that was the, is this the case in our culture, many of our culture? Have you even knew that this was a colonial import? Now, the idea that a woman's identity gets absorbed into a human's symbolism by her taking his name was actually brought with the European colonizer and their values. So this was actually European values brought in by European colonizers here. So when people on social media are now arguing, that this new ruling is an African, they are facing a fascinating contradiction. Eh? So the court is actually saying the old way, the one we have come to accept as normal, the old way, the one we have to accept as normal, was the one that was imposed on us. It was imposed on us. So now, this flips the whole debate on its head. Really, it flips the whole debate on its head. It challenges us to ask, what are our real traditions then? And what are the habits we just picked up along the way? Eh? So, and let's be honest about the power dynamic here. So, for centuries, a name has been about ownership and lineage. The family name carries on through the men. That's how we understand. I believe that's how we... yeah, it carries through the men. Now, it suggests the man is the herd, the foundation of the family unit. And by giving couples the choice now, and a choice is the key word here, nobody's being forced. So the court is chipping away at the old patriarchal structure. So it's saying a family can be an equal partnership. The foundation can be built by two people together. So now, the anger we see, we can also see some angers on the line. The anger we see on the line isn't really just about the name. I think for me, it's not just about the name. It's about perceived loss of the status. That perceived loss of status. Some see it as a threat to masculinity itself. But is a man's identity fragile? I don't think so. You know, is it fragile that it depends on his wife taking his name? Definitely not. So that's a question worth asking. So true strength surely comes from confidence, not control. So now, let me quickly just bring it here. Okay, South Africa. That's South Africa. But what about us right here in Ondangwa, in Windhoek, in Kiermans, in Katima Mulilo? So how does this conversation apply to Namibia? So, well, our laws are different. This is what I wanted to bring in. Thanks to our Married Persons Equality Act. Okay? So our Married Person Equality Act, a woman in Namibia has the choice. She can keep her surname, take her husband's, or even double barrel them. You know? So you call them double barrel them. So we already step ahead of where South African was, actually. So, but here is the question I want to put to you today, okay? What about the man? Is it a simple process for Namibia man to take his wife's surname about marriage? Is that a just simple process? Is it our system truly equal? Or does it also assume that the name change will only go one way? So that's my question. So, this ruling next door give us a mirror. I think it give us a mirror. It forces us to look at our own society. We see Namibian children every day with their mother's surname. We see couple using double barrel names. Things are already changing on the ground, but our official system, and more importantly, our mindset, because that's the most important things, can they keep up? Are we keeping up? So, think about your own family. What does your surname mean to you? Is it about honoring your father, your ancestor, or is it about your cultural identity? Is it about your cultural identity? Of course it is. Okay? Let's try to get... Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, the second topic.
Yeah.
It didn't come with the colonized thing, no.
Yeah, that's what the court said.
No, it was already there. Because if you look at, it's only that we don't have research.
Yeah.
If you look at that, the elder women, they were called with their husband's name on our tradition.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's not something that is coming because of the marriage, legal marriage or court legal marriage issue. It has been there for years. It's the same as we are looking at this land issue. Because I listened to you on Friday or maybe Thursday when you said, you know, we are growing up in Ongwediva and these guys, they come and packaging the land, what.
Yeah.
But those law, they have been there for years from our elder men, in traditional elder men, readers. So that the land, you are just renting it from the traditional authority. Not owning it, buying it from them. No. There was only lending fee that you can use. After you've gone or you get old, you give it back to the traditional or you transfer it to somebody else. So that is not in the colonial rules of saying no, it was dictated what no. It was already there. Our elders, they already look at.
But I think they're looking at that. The European values that when you marry somebody, then you actually, the wife actually take on, become, it's more like you become a property with the guy. Not in terms of that way, but that's why you take on the names, the name of the husband. Yeah.
That's why I say it was already playing a big role before that.
Yeah.
On traditional way. If you finding elder men who have been, women who have been in the marriage for 50 years, we don't identify them anymore or call them with their family name or grandfather. We call them with the husband's name. So that's why I say it's not dictated anything here or it's not forced anything here. But maybe by law now, if you are going to magistrate and you wanted to say, oh, now you are calling Mrs. Wu.
Yeah.
Mrs. Oshoveri now. You understand? So, but it was already there before that. You understand?
Mm.
Yeah. So now for them to legalize or debating about it, they're debating something that is already look at one side. They are just looking at it on the European, what, this Roman law, what. But then if we have a research, as I'm talking here, if you have a research to look at our traditional way to starting up or initiated what was really initiating for the woman to be called with the husband's name. Yeah. It was already there before that. So those are, sometimes we are debating with people who are just know one side. So at the end of the day, they are contradicted each other. But if you have a traditional person who have been also one of the research on those things, she might end up winning to give it free, chosen as a new introduction of saying, your husband can also add in his wife's surname.
Yeah.
For them to combining one name from their children.
Mm, okay.
Because they want, that is only that they want him to know where this family came from, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe your in-law were powerful. As you are saying, maybe they were rich or they were one of the government ministers. So you want also to keep your in-laws' name,
yeah.
So that your children will be known. I mean, your great children will be known that they come from the ruling thing.
Yeah, yeah, mm.
Yeah. So but, those are the. It's a debatable thing, yeah.
Yeah, it is debatable. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, it's a debatable, but it need to be debated. That's why I'm saying some of us we are not fitting for this simple debating because of looking at the angle that let us look at before the Roman law.
Yeah. Mm.
Was it really this thing or there was no that thing? Because the Roman law that is changing for the wife to inherited husband thing, it came from America.
Yeah.
So it didn't come from Europe. Europe is still recognizing the family of the men. You understand?
Yeah.
But in America, they don't do that because yeah. When you are left in your house, Angola. If you go there, you will not come back into this family anymore. Start your own family there. So when you are starting your own family, you're starting with who? With your partner.
Exactly.
And that is where you start. So ilongo so ndorita kutrukui walula. Mo America kano. One catch. There is no one catch.
let's hear if there's another one with some opinion. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great man. All right. Now, but what if a man loves his wife and wants to honor her family, her ancestor, by taking her name, you know? Especially if perhaps she has no brothers to carry the name on. Why should society or the law see that a stranger or weak? How do they would see that it's strange or weak? So isn't that an act of love and partnership? All right, let's get another one. Very good morning.
Morning, Mike. How are you? Let me just talk about it briefly.
Yeah, quickly.
That is actually not our tradition.
Yeah.
The one we assume the men's surname.
Yeah, that's what women the court say. That's what South African court say, yeah.
Yes, and the other thing is that even our mothers used to carry their surname.
Yeah.
They never... They got married, but they still have their names.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, okay.
And another thing, like you said, our identity get left also in that one.
Yeah.
You say, from example of my children, they are Bwana children. If I knew a long time ago, I could have changed them to Bwana.
Yeah.
Instead of my father's name. Mm. So, because... It is actually not our tradition, and there are a lot of things that are not our tradition, neither in because our customer role were not written, it's informal, it's passed orally, and things like that.
Mm.
Therefore, some of these informations are not documented.
Yeah. Mm.
So they get lost. That's why we are even lost here.
That's true.
We are saying our forefather, our mothers, our old grand used to have their father, their husband's name.
Yeah.
Legendary. When were we born? We were just born legendary. Our mothers don't have their father's their husband's name.
Mm.
So most of them, they were not even having a link, this diamond link that you're talking about, a friend of who. A girl, or what is it?
Yeah. It's the girl's best friend, apparently. Yeah.
Girl's best friend. Mm. So all these things just came with our modernization. I'm sure now the South African, even ourselves here, there was even we were visited by somebody who has assumed his surname, the wife was the surname. And we were debating the whole class, and even in our media here, people were debating about those things. Mm. And this is the person that is my best friend. We work together. It's my mentor.
Yeah.
We used to talk about marriage issues in the radio.
Yeah.
So it's good that you incorporate our indigenous, African indigenous law into this, our legal system.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. No, thanks for coming back and also on contributing on this one. All right.
Okay, thank you.
All right. A very good morning to you. This is not about erasing history, I think. What if the two people, it's about letting the current generation write their own history, write their own history together on their own terms. Yeah. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm right, man. We are the last minute today.
Yeah. So which one do you wanna contribute to?
Okay, let me start with Brown Diamond.
Yeah.
The Brown Diamond. Do you watch that movie?
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it should tell all the reality what is happening to the diamond industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you look now, I think people are campaigning about it, about this diamond which they are creating in the lab.
Mm.
Because remember one thing, that there are a lot of people investing their money in the mines. exploration.
Yeah. Yeah.
And somebody from China just come up with this. And remember, this diamond, they are saying it's 99%. Just 1% is absent.
Yeah, you don't make a difference. There's no difference at all. You know, and as I said, the difference is only the price.
Yeah, you see now. And I think as African, I think we just have to move in. I mean, as Namibian, we just have to move with a new trend.
Yeah.
Because if we keep it the way we are, that's why we are not keeping up with the world. The world is moving, but we stay indexed. And we are not going anywhere. And we want to develop to catch up with the world, but we are not really, even our policy, we are not even creating to direct towards the development of towards the world moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are moving really backward. I think it's hard time. Serious, if you are really serious, it's hard time also to start in venture. Yeah. Even now, if you look, we are talking about even the green hydrogen. But the way we are moving up, it's like we are not there. We are like, it's not our thing, really.
Yeah. Mm.
But things are happening here. But how many times, I mean, like now we are talking about even people need to be sent out to study. But in the reality, this is a thing which is supposed to be in our vocational training already.
Yeah, but the problem is that these are new things, and we weren't prepared. But what we can do now is to align our institution to this new sector. But the other thing is also, it's kind of you also, people are actually doing it like this. They kind of see how it goes. This is how we do.
Yeah.
We see how it goes. If it's going very well, then we join as well. We want to get on the boat when it's successful. But
you find that the boat is already gone. Like,
exactly.
2 miles backwards. Now you are going to suffer.
Yeah.
By swimming, and they are sharks there, and you know,
the person has spent a lot of money.
You might end up get thrown in.
Now, the person has spent a lot of money, and you wanna get on the boat now, you know?
Yeah.
So how does it work? I think there was someone from the government also was explaining to say, look, you know, the person has spent, you agreed, okay, you're gonna bring in your money and all that, do exploration, and okay, for me, it's okay. If 10%, it's fine for me. And now you can't just at some point you decided, no, we're now going to change because now we see that there's oil, there's what. No, that won't happen. Yeah.
Exactly. The problem is what I'm saying. And I agree with Anonymous. Anonymous was talking about, you know, sometimes we allow these people to capture maybe like 10 hectares for diamonds. But you don't know what is the value which is underneath. Because remember one thing, that once our resource in Namibia, we don't value the resource which is underneath.
Yeah.
It's what the minister was explaining, the mining minister. But seriously, we are losing because you might find the resource which was not supposed to be a diamond there.
Yeah.
Then, and this is what we are losing also when it comes to the sea.
Yeah.
People are just captured because we are targeting the fish. But sometimes, you know, remember that in the sea also, there's a lot of natural resource. And those things which have been there for a long time, you might find even a crate of maybe gold, which was lost in 1870-something.
Mandumbe,
who's going to report it to you?
We are beyond time, man. You come a little bit late today. Yeah.
No, it's all right.
All right, man.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming through.
Sharp.
All right. Well, a very good morning to you. And then that's actually bring us to the end of our Unpacking the Day today. And let's do this again. And thank you for those who have participated and contributed to the show. And let's do that again tomorrow at the same time here on Eagle FM. So now I leave you in the hands of Mr. Tate France coming up with Kuthamosha. And I'm crossing over to Wintuk to Tate France. From me, Mwango Shaveli, until tomorrow, let's do that same again. Goodbye for now.